Balasya of a little child. Na, not. Iha, in this world. Shadanam, shelter, protection. Pitarao, the father and mother. Nrsingha, O my Lord Nrsingadeva. Na, neither. Artasya, of a person suffering from some disease. Cha, also. Agadam, medicine. Udanvati, in the water of the ocean. Majataha, of a person who is drowning. Now, the boat. Taptasya, of a person suffering from a condition of material misery. Atat prativedihi, the counteraction invented for stopping the suffering of material existence. Yaha, that which. Iha, in this material world. Anjasa, very easily. Ishtaha, accepted as a remedy. Tavat, similarly. Vivo, O my Lord, O Supreme. Tanubratam, of the living entities who have accepted material bodies. Atvat upekshitanam, who are neglected by you and not accepted by you. So translation, my Lord Nrsingadeva, O Supreme Person, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you, cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child, a physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient, and a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. So you can repeat, my Lord Nrsingadeva, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. And a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Through parental care, through remedies for different kinds of disease, and through means of protection on the water, in the air, and on land, there's always an endeavor for relief from various kinds of suffering in the material world. But none of them are guaranteed measures for protection. They may be beneficial temporarily, but they afford no permanent benefit. Despite the presence of a father and mother, a child cannot be protected from accidental death, disease, and various other miseries. No one can help, including the parents. Ultimately, the shelter is the Lord, and one who takes shelter of the Lord is protected. This is guaranteed. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, the 9th chapter, text 31, Kunteya pratijanihi nami bhakta pranashyati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Therefore, unless one is protected by the mercy of the Lord, no remedial measure can act effectively. one should consequently depend fully on the causeless mercy of the Lord, although as a matter of routine duty, one must, of course, accept other remedial measures. No one can protect one who is neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this material world, everyone is trying to counteract the onslaught of material nature, but everyone is ultimately fully controlled by material nature. Therefore, even though so-called philosophers and scientists try to surmount the onslaught of material nature, they have not been able to do so. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in the 13th chapter, text 9, that the real sufferings of the material world are four: janma, mrityu; jara, vyadi; birth, death, old age, and disease. In the history of the world, no one has been successful in conquering these miseries imposed by material nature. Prakute kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. Nature, prakriti, is so strong that no one can overcome her stringent laws. So-called scientists, philosophers, religionists, and politicians should therefore conclude they cannot offer facilities to the people in general. They should make vigorous propaganda to awaken the populace and raise them to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Our humble attempt to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world is the only remedy that can bring about a peaceful and happy life. We can never be happy without the mercy of the Supreme Lord, Tvad Upekshitanam. If we keep displeasing our Supreme Father, we shall never be happy within this material world in either the upper or lower planetary systems. So, Balashaneha Sharanam Pitaro Nasingha Nartasya Chagadamudanvati Majato Now Taptasya Tat Prativedir Yagihanja Seshtas Tavad Vibhotanubritam Twarupekshi Tanam. Okay. So, Omagana Timurandasha Gananjana Shilakya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, of course, we've heard about these miseries over and over and over again. So, what I wanted to talk about first was something that was very interesting in this particular verse to me. It's actually the last two words in Sanskrit, Tvat Upekshitanam, which Prabhupada here translates in the word by word translation is, who are neglected and not accepted by you. And in the translation, Prabhupada says, embodied souls, same thing, neglected and not cared for by you, cannot do anything for their betterment. So, I mean, this appears, this appears to be quite cruel on the Sringadeva's part, that he's neglecting someone, you know, his parts and parcels. As Krishna says in the Gita, Mami Vamsa, Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta, Sanatana, that they're my kids, basically. You know, if you have a parent who neglects their kids, I mean, that's very bad. I mean, sometimes there's divorce, and then the father or the mother is forced to pay some child support payments. They're not allowed to neglect their kids. I mean, obviously. Of course, I was just reading one particular country. They were proposing a law that the father would have a right up to the 6 month of pregnancy to renounce the kid that was going to be born so he wouldn't have to take responsibility for it. It's actually a proposed law. It's a European country. Don't worry, it's not America yet. So, but here is the Lord who basically is, you know, Hambija Pradapita. He's the seed-giving father for all of us, you know, daddy. He's a real pita. He's our daddy, you know, and of course, our mother. Of course, in one sense, some people consider Srimati Radharani to be our mother, but actually, Durga is, in a very real sense, our mother, because we're born from the material energy. But actually, we were never born. But in any case, we're chips off the old block, as they say, and the old block is Krishna. So here's Krishna saying, and Krishna and Lord Nrsimhadeva are not different, they're the same person, Advaita Chuta Nadi Rananta Rupa. He's saying, I neglect them. Wow. And so, why does he do such a thing to neglect us? Well, ultimately, let's say he's not in every sense neglecting us, but as Krishna says in the fourth chapter of the Gita, Yayata Mam Prapanchante Tamsataiva Bhajamiham, he's reciprocating with us because we've neglected him. You know, it's our fault, it ain't his fault. We've neglected him, we've rejected him. Krishna Bhadhirmukha is another statement in Sanskrit. We've turned our face away from Krishna. It's not like some people say in different organizations that we came to the material world or, you know, born in the material world. Like that song, Born in the USA, you know. So, it's not born in the material world, you know. So, it's not that we were born in the material world. We were originally with Krishna, in one way or other. I mean, exactly what position we had or what we were doing or where we were. It's not specifically described. It's just there. We were Krishna conscious living entities. And we made a conscious choice to be in the material world. Because if you say that we were put in the material world without awareness of the spiritual realm, that means that basically we didn't choose to be here, and basically God is cruel, you know, sending us here without any cause. You know, he's making us in Maya by nature. But actually, we're not in Maya by nature. Jivera Svarupahoy Nitya Krishna Das. Our nature, eternal nature, which is covered. Because before we came to the material world, we were uncovered. And now it's covered, so our eternal nature is covered. Amritam Ganavitena Gyanino Nityavayana Kama Rupena Kuntia Dushprena Lenacha. So our eternal nature is covered, and so that means it was uncovered before. So we're here. And so we've decided to neglect Krishna. And Krishna says that I reciprocate. You know, as you do unto me, I do unto you. So we say, you know, Krishna, I don't want you. And Krishna, in one sense, doesn't say, I don't want you, but he says, you know, experience it, my neglect. And in the meantime, while I'm neglecting you, I'll put you under the jurisdiction of the material energy. You know, here's your mother, Durga. I'll put you in jail. I mean, just like you could say that when a person is put in jail, he's neglected by the ordinary functioning of the government. In other words, he doesn't have any rights. He can have his passport taken away, especially if someone's a felon. He can have his passport taken away, he can't travel. Obviously, he's in jail, he can't travel very much. But even after he gets out of jail, you know, he loses his passport for some particular time, and he can't travel overseas, and he may be, just like I have one disciple who recently was paroled from the jail. He was awaiting trial, and he has to just, like, live within the confines of one house. He can't go beyond the fence line of the house. And not only that, but while he's awaiting trial, he's not in the United States, don't worry. So, no one here. So while he's awaiting trial, he can't talk to any of the people that were witnesses in his case. You know, if they talk to him, then he's thrown back in the clink again. So, anyway, so he's made certain choices that put him in that particular situation. You know, whether it's innocent or not is another point, because God's justice is perfect. You know, there's no question of an innocent victim. You know, I'm in the material world, I'm innocent. But your very symbol of shame is your body. There's like that story when I was young, with the scarlet letter. You know that story?
Yeah.
I read it. There was once a lady who was, anyway, she was like the ordinary people nowadays. Nowadays, everyone would have to wear a scarlet letter. Isn't it? Adulteress, you know, the A. adulterous. Actually, when I made a mistake in chemistry lab in the high school, they made me wear a thermometer around my neck. I broke the thermometer. So I had to wear it around my neck for a week or something like that because I broke the thermometer. Anyway, so there's a scarlet letter story. She was an adulteress, and actually she had to wear this big A. So we're wearing this big, you know, D, demon, you know, or N, nonsense, body, you know, that's our booby prize. As they say, you're walking around with something that we think is beautiful, which is actually tridatake, bile, mucus, and air. You know, that's your punishment. And so if you say, you know, I was innocent, I didn't do anything, you know, what are you walking around with a material body for? So anyway, so we did something. We ignored Krishna. And then Krishna doesn't precisely completely ignore us, but he puts us in control of the material energy. So in that sense, he's neglecting us. He's not personally taking care of us. Just like if a parent gets angry at the child and the parent says, I'm not going to take care of you anymore, but I'm sending you to your uncle. You know, in the Vedic system or in India, it was the uncle who would do the heavy chastising. Your mother and father, I mean, sometimes mother and father too, you know, anyway. But the real heavy stuff, you know, and the guy would start shaking, you know. You're going to your uncle, you know, they threaten the poor little boy. Is it like that in Mauritius too? With the uncle? You just threaten the boy, you know, I'm sending you to your uncle. And he starts shaking, all right, I'll behave myself. So, anyway, and in the old days, they actually allowed corporal punishment. You know, spankings and things like that. I'm not saying I'm in favor of it, but I'm just saying the way it was. In the old days, we had spankings and all sorts of interesting interactions with family members. So so in that way, you could say the parent's neglecting the child or sending the child to someone else for discipline. Or sometimes if the child's really bad in America, you send them to a military academy for straightening up. I know someone who was sent to a military academy and then they almost set fire to the military academy and they were kicked out of the military academy. They were so bad. And that's like in the material world, you're sent to Maya and then you go down to the lowest reaches of illusion. You become an actual demon. So anyway, so you have parallel circumstances that occur. So this is the explanation of why it says in the verse, Lord Nrisimhadeva is neglecting the person. And put under the material energy is a pure servant of Krishna, and the material energy and Krishna have designed the material world, so there is no solutions. In fact, if you go back to the 17th text in the same chapter, not only will you find that there's no solutions, but the 17th text is quite interesting. He says, although there are many remedies by which to get out of the miserable life, any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Huh? It's just like one example I was thinking of, that sometimes people have to take a particular medicine for some problem, you know, where they have headaches or heartaches or whatever, and then they get this big, long list of side effects. One of the people we're cultivating right now in Krishna consciousness, she's a nurse, and she works for a pharmaceutical company, and she has to interview people who are taking a particular medicine, and one of our Krishna West people, and she has to find out what are you experiencing from that medicine. You know, this is medicine that's been approved. You know, this isn't medicine that's under trial or test or anything like this. This is medicine that's gone like 10 years of, you know, tests by the FDA. And, you know, what are you experiencing? Well, I want to kill myself. Well, she writes that down. One of the side effects, you want to kill yourself. And what other side effect? Well, I fell down the stairs this morning. You know, and so all these, you get this whole list of side effects. So any of these remedial measures we take in the material world are like that. There's a whole list of side effects. Okay. And you know, let's say... but it doesn't appear like that. You know, there's some promise. Like, you see these advertisements of the pharmaceutical companies. They make these advertisements that, you know, you have problems with too much gas or bloating or anything like that. And you actually see that, you know, full-page advertisements about these things. You know, take this, you'll be able to eat like a pig and enjoy yourself. And so... It's like anything. Like, let's say, I mean, of course, the typical sannyas type of example is, let's say we have a real desire to get married or something like that. And you just think it's a very romantic thing, and the advertisement is, you know, very romantic. You know, we walk down the aisles, here comes the bride or king for a day or something like that. And then you discover it's just work. And you know, and kids appear very cute, and then you discover it's going to cost you over $1 million to raise each one before they even get to the university. You think, oh my God, just a little bit, you know, or even like the Bhagavatam example of the sage, you know, who didn't build a house because even though he was going to live for as many lifetimes of Lord Brahma as he had hairs on his body. That's a lot of lifetimes. And he didn't, everybody was saying, you know, why don't you build a house, Maharaj? And then he said, no, time is short, you know. And then he was very happy, you know, peaceful. It was peaceful. Or even my own example, you know, I used to live in the forest, in a little cabin in the forest, and I was thinking, now, yeah, I need a house, my mother's going to pay for it, you know, all right, fine. I need a house, and then we'll be running water, and I can take hot showers, and I can, what else? You know, I won't have to bathe outside in the snow, pouring the water on my head, and then, you know, actually have a toilet, you can push a button, and things go away. So, and then, you know, just so many headaches, and then you got to employ people to clean the place all the time. Hours a day they're cleaning, ironing clothes, cleaning pots, buying boga. Then you get a juicer because you want to take juice. And then you got to get the vegetables and clean the juicer. And then to clean out get someone to pump the septic tank every 6 months. And you think, oh my God. Wasn't it just nicer just to live in the woods, you know, Hare Krishna, you know, maybe even a tent, maybe even that was too much. In the tent, but it's just like, huh? And less time for hearing and chanting. You know, you always think there's going to be more time for hearing and chanting the more facilities you get. But actually, there's less time for hearing and chanting. And then what to speak of the modern amenities we're also attached to, like the, you know, the cell phone and the car, and the computer and the internet, and apart from my own experiences, people have lost the ability to communicate with each other because of these different electronic devices, and they've lost the ability, you know, to concentrate. You know, I was just talking yesterday. We went to this program, and it was a Christian program, and people at the table were talking about how there's so much high incidence of this attention deficit disorder. You know, so of course the pharmaceutical companies are very happy with that because they're just like producing Ritalin like it's going out of style. And other drugs like that, it's an attention. You know, they like these diseases. The more diseases, the better, the more money, isn't it? So bring on those diseases. And maybe they even invent some just to... You know, so people have, because of all these devices which are supposed to make us happy, so we communicate, we're communicating less. And we don't even know how to use body language anymore. And talk to people and communicate with people. I mean, even there was, of course, many years ago, there was this blackout in New York. And because nobody knew how to talk to, and this was years ago before the internet. You know, but people were accustomed to television. You know, you sit down with your family. You don't talk to your family. That's not what, you know, you sit down with your family and you watch TV. And if there's no electricity, what are you going to do with your family? So as soon as they had the blackout in New York, you know, people couldn't understand what to do, so there was a baby boom. You know, that was the only thing they could do that wasn't electronic. And nowadays, you know, you sit down at the dinner table, you know, if you want someone to pass the salt, you send them a text message. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you look at everybody's holding the mobile phone and, you know, look at me or whatever, you know.
Right.
And so, and then let's say the automobile, you know what problem? We've solved the problem so we can travel long distances, yeah. But then we have to travel long distances to go to work. You understand? Like, because if you didn't have the automobile, you have to work at home. You know, you have to plow the fields. And then, of course, you'd have organic produce and nice things, and you'd be much healthier. And because you're not working at home, you have to buy, I mean, mostly inorganic stuff, or if you're fortunate or rich enough to go to the health food store and spend through your nose for the organic lettuce. Then you have to work like a dog just to pay for the organic lettuce, which you could have grown very easily in your own home. And then to pay for your car, and obviously you have to have a nice car. It's like one of our devotees who works in the loan department of a particular bank. He's actually, you know, high up there. And, you know, people are spending so much money, practically their whole income, in buying a car so they could go to work and show off to other people. You know why? Because that's, if you can't be respected by other people, what's the use of life? So it's that get a car so people will respect you. Huh? You know, spend all your money so people will love you. So in other words, they've created more problems. So anyway, what's the remedial measure? The real remedial measure, and that's mentioned in the fourth verse of the 10th canto, first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nivritta tarshar upagiyamanas. That in this material world, there's all these tarshars, these miseries. Bhavosara shrotar mano birmat. Kautama shloka gunanavada. Puman vidajeta gunal poshubnat. That the real remedial measure is Krishna Katha. You know, the holy names of Krishna. I mean, these are things, the deities. This is our shelter. In this, we're all looking for shelter from the material measures. Of course, Prabhupada said that we do need to make, you know, some adjustments sometimes. But ultimately, we depend on Krishna. Prabhupada says this in... Prabhupada says, although as a matter of routine duty, one must of course accept other remedial measures. That's in the middle of the purport. No one can protect one who is neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we do things. I mean, obviously we go to the dentist, we go to the doctor, you know, the eye doctor. It's not that I say that I'm not going to go to the eye doctor, it doesn't matter, I don't need glasses, you know. Krishna will make me see well without glasses. You know, we have to use our intelligence. But ultimately, what will be the ultimate remedial measure from birth, death, disease, and old age, which glasses won't protect me from these miseries, is just Krishna Katha. And as Prabhupada said, if we want to get a taste for Krishna Katha, we have to, in the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, text 19, Prabhupada says, we should please the Supreme Father by making vigorous propaganda to awaken the populace and raise them to the platform of Krishna consciousness. That's actually our duty. And if we do that, then our miseries will be mitigated, not in the sense that the body will not be miserable, but in the sense that our consciousness will be so absorbed in loving devotion for Krishna that the miseries will no longer be miserable. In other words, we'll be detached. It's like another example Prabhupada gave is like a coconut that's dried out. The inside is actually detached from the outside. So in other words, even though in the material world, experiencing the physically, you know, experiencing the reverses of the material energy, which definitely occur, we will actually be detached from these things because we'll have our life of devotion in relationship to Krishna. So on that happy note, offer our obeisances to Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya.